Okay. Look away just
in
case.
I'm looking away.
Our guest, you guys, is popping on the screen.
Okay, do you have anything you want to tell me about this guest as
okay,
a prep?
I'm going to tell you about the guest. Are you ready?
Yeah. You don't tell me who it is. You give describers.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is still the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 478, we're doing something special. My friend Cynthia Yanoff is joining me again. She's the host of the Mesmerized podcast. And y'all know the first Friday of the month, she and I get sidetracked by all the things. And this summer, we've decided to do a second episode together each month where we surprise the other one with a guest. We've released episodes with Tony Collier, Beth McCord, and today's special guest is Michaela Noble. You'll hear her intro in a second. Cynthia's going to offer. But I wanted to tell you, although Michaela is not a mom, and this is a mom podcast, the Don't Mom Alone name is also a reminder that you have the living God by your side. He promises to never leave you. And I just was thinking about those of you who are in the midst of a not yet healed place in your life. Michaela's going to talk about a physical suffering she's walked through and the process of recovering from that. And I was reading in Matthew 9, and I had just read all of these healings Jesus had done. And yet there are people that were still on the earth who were not healed. And it said in Matthew 9 that Jesus went throughout the town and he was teaching and preaching. Interesting, those are different, teaching and preaching, and healing. And so I looked up the Greek for healing. I was curious to learn more about it. When you dial back into that Greek word, you get back to heat and summer, which I think is interesting given the fact that we are right in the middle of the hottest part of summer for us, that healing would start there. And then it goes to, surprisingly, a servant. So you've got hot summer, a servant, and it actually says a cherished menial attendant. And then you get healing. And it's interesting, the Greek, while it can mean to relieve of disease, heal from disease, which is what we think of when we think of healing, it also is used to adore God. That word is used for worship and to wait upon menially, a non-shiny service, a worship, and also a removal of disease. And I think so often we just lean into the part where we want to be healed and free of whatever is wounded us or hurt us. And if you're in that place where you're in a not yet healed, whether it's with a child and what they're walking through, mental health or physical health or something else that is not okay in your life, I just want to remind you of that connection, that healing is also a healing of our souls that leads to worship and a service where we are, that it's there's a three-part to it. And I was actually having my quiet time and listening to a worship playlist that our friend's son Pike had created. I think he labeled it Christ is Dope. I might get that wrong, but I just was thinking about him in those last year he's walked through of just really hard physical challenges and how he leaned into worship. And we know that he is on the other side fully healed and we're in the not yet. And listening to those worship songs that gave him hope in his not yet was really encouraging to me. And so if you're in that place, you don't know why the thing hasn't been healed yet, you're waiting on the Lord. I hope this conversation is an encouragement to you, Michaela's journey, and that you would kind of lean into the worship aspect, that we wouldn't lose that discipline that can bring so much hope in the hard places. All right, I'm rambling, but I'm excited to share this conversation with you. So let's get right to it. Here we go.
Our first guest is not necessarily someone everyone knows, but definitely a local hero.
Okay.
Where we live.
Okay.
We've both followed this person. And interesting enough, we've both prayed for this person.
Stop.
And do not know this person personally.
Wait. Like I've never met her. Okay.
This person is a world champion athlete and was a student in high school. On September 20th, 2021, she suffered a tumbling accident that resulted in a severe spinal cord injury.
Oh my gosh, I totally know. I have goosebumps.
And I know. I have goosebumps thinking about her because I love her so much. And She's had a significant medical journey the last several years with all the challenges of paralysis, secondary infections, learning to live a completely new life in many, many ways. And God has used her story in incredible ways, including giving her, I hate to use the word platform, a platform. She's even done a ton with Sadie Robertson, you know, Duck Dynasty. Yeah, and yeah. So anyway, that's who our first guest is. I think she's here. Let's see.
Oh my gosh.
Michaela Noble, are you there?
Yes, oh I'm gosh. Here.
It's Hi. Like seeing someone who's been 2D, 3D.
Oh my Hi. Gosh.
You're so
well, I'm
sweet.
Honored to be here.
Thank oh my you. Goodness.
Did you hear the intro? Could you hear me talking about you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So welcome. And Thank it's going you. On like both of our shows and we love the concept, but then we got all nervous about it because we're like, do we know what we're doing? Is she going to show up? Is she going to be like, what? So anyway.
We can learn together.
Yes. Girl, I speak not for Heather, but I know Heather well enough to know, like, I'm not sure there's many people I prayed for as hard as I prayed for you having never met you. No, I just know your story because we live in the same town, all the things. And so let's catch everybody up.
Yeah.
Let's just start with that. Like, catch us up on kind of life before and life after. Is that kind of how it looks for you? The before and the after of September 20th, 2021?
That's kind of what it feels like. Yeah. So it's almost 2.5 years ago, which is absolutely insane. It feels like yesterday, you know, like life before feels like yesterday. And I've heard from people, I guess it'll kind of always feel like that. But it also feels like so far away too. I feel like I've lived so much life since then. But yeah, I was a junior in high school when my accident happened. And so it was like at the beginning of the school year. So I was obviously basically out of school for the full year, just focusing on recovery. And I was in and out of hospitals and rehabilitation facilities. It was crazy, you know, nothing that you ever expect to go through in your life, especially so young and so healthy. It was unexpected and a whirlwind.
And it's cheer related, right? Like
it was
for people who don't know, like master cheerleader, like done all the things. And you were like literally after school with friends practicing, right?
Yes. So I had been in the cheerleading world for a long, long time. I did competitive cheer and was grateful enough to go on to be a world champion at the age of 12, which is absolutely insane. Competing Crazy. Against 19 and 20 year olds and being on teams with them, collegiate athletes, it was so cool. I think that was something that helped me in the end, you know, because I achieved all my goals that I wanted to achieve in the sport before my accident happened.
Yeah.
But I did high school cheer and middle school cheer just for fun. I just enjoyed doing it with my girlfriends and making memories, and sideline cheer, so different than competitive cheer, but they're both really enjoyable to me. Mm-hmm. I actually got injured in school cheer, which is crazy because I was doing something so easy compared to what I was used to doing.
Wow.
But what I've heard from a lot of people that get injured in sports, whatever, you always get injured doing the stupid stuff rather than the most difficult things.
Maybe your guard's down a little bit or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll preach in a lot of different ways.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where things catch us, it's like unexpected. Yeah.
And even just like, again, I think that is like kind of a learning lesson. Like people, if you're like, oh, it's just like a 5-minute car ride, like I don't need to put my seatbelt on, or, you know, whatever it may be. It's like sometimes in those moments where something crazy happens. I was a 16-year-old girl when I got injured, and I'm 19 years old now. I still feel like a little kid, but I also feel so grown because I've had to endure a lot and grow up very quickly. Being surrounded by older people for my whole life, just with sports and everything, I was used to being around older people, and I kind of preferred being around adults rather than people my own age, just, you know, maturing quickly and everything. I enjoyed it. But being in and out of hospitals and being in such a serious life or death situations in the ICU, you get used to being an adult pretty quickly. So,
yeah. Michaela, I had the privilege, or I actually got to cheat a little bit because I knew you were coming on. And so I was watching maybe a YouTube video or something of you, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, but you doing stuff with Sadie Robertson. And I thought this was so interesting. You talked about how, you know, this accident happened after school. Like, was it in your own backyard or were you at a friend's house? I forget.
I was at a friend's house.
Okay. And you said how, like, you instantly had this calmness. And that even hearing the ambulances and fire trucks and everything pulling up and all the chaos around you, that like you just had this sense of calm. And I'm just curious, and it sounded like that kind of stayed with you. Are you naturally that way? Like just under pressure, you tend to be just kind of a calm, or obviously we believe the Lord did that for you as well, but kind of talk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And I still have people close to me be like, were you actually that calm, Michaela? Like, did you actually know right away you were paralyzed? And the truth is, yes, like I honestly did know. I am pretty good at dealing with high stress situations, but you never know how you're going to be in an incident like that. You know, it's not something you plan for. But when it happened, I think it was easier because everybody was behind me. I was faced away from everybody. But yeah, I really do believe it was the Lord just being with me. I was obviously in shock and in so much pain that I couldn't move even if I wanted to. I've said it all over before, and it's crazy. And if I wouldn't have experienced it, I don't know if I would have believed it 100%. But I really did know instantly that I was paralyzed. And the best way I can try and describe it to somebody is I talk about like Harry Potter and like the invisible cloak, how, you know, like they put it on and their body's just gone. That's truly what it felt like. I was obviously in a lot of pain in my neck and my back, laying on the ground after just breaking my neck and becoming paralyzed. But it felt like once I hit the ground and like was there for a second, like my body was just gone. And it was like that for many weeks after. And thankfully I got feeling back in my body. And I can feel all throughout my body, which is a blessing. And I'm so grateful for that. But it really, it was crazy. And I just, I thank God for being with me through it all. And in the hospital and during all these really scary times, I was able to stay just so calm. I have an amazing support system, as you guys know, in the community and the school, but my family and friends really mean everything to me. And they've been there with me through it all. They all say, I mean, there's times where I really don't remember a lot happening during those first few weeks, but that I was the one that kept them calm, which is
interesting. Like that it not was contagious. The way. I've seen that where like anxiety is contagious. Like if you're around someone who's super anxious, you start feeling like, oh my gosh, I think we're in trouble. Like, so that's good to hear that calmness can be contagious as moms.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I know. My mom was like, you were the reason I was so calm and was like, okay, we're going to be okay, which is amazing. But I don't know. I literally was in the hospital before I even went into surgery. And I was like, I know I'm paralyzed. Like, I'm going to be okay. I got to see my brother and sister. It's crazy just how the Lord's timing, how he plans everything out. So it's the week of homecoming. And with that being said, both sets of grandparents were in town. And both my siblings were in town. And my mom and dad were in town. Everybody was in town. So when my accident happened, everybody rushed to the hospital and I got to see everybody before I went into surgery and talked to them and everything. And I was kind of the one that reassured them, like, I'm going to be okay, you know, maybe not tomorrow, but I'll be okay.
What I've found, like when accidents happen or hard things happen or cancer diagnosis happen, is people ask a lot of questions. And I think there's a little part of us is like, how do I keep that from happening? You know what I mean? Or like, how would I respond in that situation? And it just sounds to me like how I've experienced when hard things do happen is God provides the grace to walk through it. You know, and you can see that grace as you look back and you're like, it was homecoming week, which could be devastating, but at the same time, all my family was there. And it's like, I had this calmness. And it's like one of my mentors would say, there's no grace for your imagination. So we have all these fears and these imagined scenarios. And it's like, but there's no grace there. There's grace when you actually walk through the hard thing.
Yeah,
and, absolutely. And I'd love to hear like that journey of, the heart of, I'm not going to the homecoming dance, which seems like the most, right? Like when you're a teen, we put these things on pedestals that feel like the most important thing. And you have to, you're kind of stripped, all of those things are stripped away and you're in a hospital bed. And how do you even find hope, gratitude in those places?
Yeah, I think, you know, grief is such a interesting thing. And this was like my first, I'm very thankful, it's like my first huge kind of loss in a sense. And it was me mourning my own body and what I thought my future would look like. You know, we all, I'm a planner. I like to know what's going on and then I can deal with it. You know, sometimes we talk to God and it's like, God, if you let me know what's coming up, like I'll be ready.
Yeah.
But in this situation, I'm so glad I did not know what was coming up because I think I would have done things different and would have changed God's plan. That's even possible. But in the beginning, I was okay. I was happy to be alive and I was okay just because the situation that I was in, my accident was so high up that if I did certain things that normal teenagers did, you know, smoked and drank and vaped a bunch, if my lungs weren't healthy, they said I could have died on the scene, which is terrifying. Yeah. But because, again, of my high drive and passion for cheerleading and being healthy and being an athlete, I took those things very seriously and was like, I'm not doing those things, which again was something that God installed in me early on that became such a blessing in the end. And I developed pneumonia and my lungs collapsed twice while I was in the ICU. And again, they were able to get them healthy again and get them going because of decisions that I did in my past, which is crazy. I think in the beginning, I was obviously very sad that I wasn't going to get to go to the homecoming, wasn't get to be going to be at the football game, but those things were kind of just out of my mind. You know, those were big things in the moment, but once my accident happened, I was worried just really about myself and survival and what life was going to look like. The first week after my surgery, I was good. And then my health took a turn for the worse, like I said. And so I was out of it a lot. But I remember one day specifically, I think it was probably the second week, I just like broke down crying with my mom. And I think that was the first time that I really like
let it out,
let the emotions come over me. And I was just like, I don't want to deal with this anymore, mom. Like, I just want to go back to being a normal teenager, you know, and worrying about normal high school
normal
things,
homecoming,
homework, you know. Yeah, I think that my whole life really switched from that point. And that's kind of how I look at life. Like when I talk to people about things, I'm like, before my accident or after, because it's such a huge,
a whole like priority shift. What
matters. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Y'all know that I have my oldest child going off to college this fall. And that kind of milestone makes you look back at your parenting journey with a lot of nostalgia. And kind of you're like, I know I've made a lot of memories in the last 19 years, but have I captured them well? And so when Duncan and Stone reached out, I was like, yes, this is such a great thing to offer moms so that when they get to the stage I'm in, they can feel good about knowing that with a little time, a little effort, they've captured these memories, whether it's school photos or holiday traditions or sports. Duncan and Stone has so many different great products. And because they were created by two moms, you know that they get it. It has great prompts for you, takes away the mom guilt because so many things are going on in those years with young kids. It's hard when you're trying to find one spot to keep all the memories. So they have journals. If you know someone who's pregnant, they have a great pregnancy journal, new baby journal, and they have ones for every year. They even have a birthday journal, which I think is really fun. If your family is into celebrating birthdays every year, it would be a great place to kind of document what you did for their birthday. And then there's a place you can write them a letter, which is super sweet. Maybe even if a grandparent writes them a note that you want to put in there. I was looking through the website and I really loved, they have this family recipe book where you could keep track of maybe your grandma made a special thing that you don't want to lose. I know that my mother-in-law's given us great recipe cards, but they're already fading. And so I want to make sure I get those in a book and I might grab one of those journals. I know I've mentioned this a lot lately, but there's just been so much loss in our community and just continuing on. And I saw on the Duncan and Stone website, they have a grief journal. And what a fantastic way to process your grief. there are prompts in there and just a space to which we as a culture don't do well in grieving. And so anyway, I saw that. I thought it was fantastic. If you know someone who's loves to read books, there's a reading journal. So many amazing options. What I also love, yes, they're made by moms, but also they're gorgeous. It's like high-end quality stationery products, but at a price point. Please go over to the website, because I know you may not believe me, but a really intentionally priced product so that you aren't breaking the bank to capture your life experiences. So, so awesome. These journals will absolutely be something I know our family is going to cherish for years to come, and I want you to experience them for yourself. So right now, there's a special offer for our listeners. You get 20% off your first order with the promo code DMA20. And did I mention that they offer free shipping on any order over $49? You know I'm a sucker for free shipping. So head over to duncananstone.com. It's spelled D-U-N-C-A-N and stone.com. Use that code DMA20, and it's the number 20, DMA20, to get 20% off your first order and free shipping on any order over $49. And you can start your memory making journey today.
Now, Michaela, tell me, I think I'm right on this, but didn't you kind of come to faith in Christ right before or pretty close to the time of the accident? Like you had gone to like a church camp or something. Tell us a little about that faith journey, because as you're talking through God's timing and like, you know, the situation, I think I just try to think on these moments. I'm like, gosh, the situation's bad. God's still good. Yeah. And so how do we reconcile those? And I think you do such a good job of reminding us of that. I think as we were praying through this for you, we kept seeing it, not only in how you had this calm strength about you. And of course there was moments you didn't, understandably, but the way it brought the community together, the way people were praying over you, seeing that God was just answering prayer after prayer. I mean, I think you just keep seeing God's goodness, even in something that's bad. And so I'm wondering, tell us a little bit about that, like that journey of coming to know Christ, because if I recall, it was right before or pretty soon before that accident. So what did that look like?
Yeah, I grew up going to church and was in a Christian household. And so I knew of God and Christ, but it wasn't until right before my accident, really, where I kind of took my faith and my relationship with God into my own hands. Okay. And my friends invited me to go to church camp, and it was at the beach. And so I was like, of course, like I'll go. That sounds like so much fun. And I really wanted to take the relationship into my own hands. I just didn't know really where to start or how to do it right. And so I went on that trip, and it was amazing. It was so good. I had a lot of family things going on at home. That was just a lot. So it was so nice to just get away and kind of just focus on my relationship with God and where I wanted this to go. And I knew I wanted to take it seriously. And I talked to one of the pastors, and I was like, I want to get baptized. Like, I want to give my life to God and everything. It was amazing. And again, then looking back on it now, it was like, I just rekindled this fire with God, and I was on fire for the Lord and was so close to Him when my accident happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's something easy, that when something like this happens, you can either go one way or another. You can either be angry at God, and there were moments where I was angry at God, you know, or just rely on Him and say, you are all I have and you are all I need, and like, just please be with me. I think perspective's a huge thing.
Yeah.
In any situation that we're in, I mean, day-to-day life, I find myself that I'm like, Michaela, you'd have done anything for this normal, boring day that you're having today. You would have done anything in the hospital for moments like that, that I try and keep myself in check and people around me, because every day, you know, really is such a blessing that we take for granted, you know, just hopping out of bed in the morning, going and brushing your teeth and jumping in the shower and getting in your car and driving by yourself. Those are things you don't think twice about and maybe don't want to do. But for someone like me or someone in surrounding situations, I would give anything to have like a normal day again like that. I think perspective, again, like I said, is just a huge thing.
Yeah.
In situations like this, you can say, I hate my life is over, all those things, and do not get me wrong. I had those moments and I still have those moments. I think it's just important to really just get close to God and be like, I'm here. I'm breathing on my own. I thank you for waking me up this morning. My whole thing was, God's not done with me yet.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like my thing. And people would say it, and I have a tattoo of it. And it really is something that I try and live by, because he could have taken me away, you know, that day or any day. And he didn't. He still woke me and y'all up this morning, and he still has a plan and a purpose for us. And I think that's so humbling and so beautiful, that even when we feel like we don't know what's going on and this life is just so crazy, that God knows, and that's really,
yes,
that matters. And he has a beautiful plan for us, although we may not see it. We just need to, you know, be there for each other and trust be there him. For him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, Heather, you have a question. I was going to say one thing. You and I, all three of us know Johnny Erickson Tata. You do, right, Michaela?
I just know of her. I've never met her.
Okay. Well,
we're not buddies.
We're best friends. It's fine. Okay. No, we're not, Michaela. Okay. It's fine. I loved how Johnny Erickson always says, I've interviewed her a couple times, and she's a
humble bragger.
Right. Humble brag. Like, she's my best friend. She's a quadriplegic, and she always says that God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. Wow. And I always think, like, if that, like, that is like a mic drop, like, whatever it is we're facing, like, you know, she's had, I mean, the Lord has used her in unbelievable ways. But I think of that all the time. Like, okay, like, why? Why?
Well, yeah, and people be like, why do bad things happen to good people is the classic. Like,
yeah, it's easy to go there.
Why would I want anything bad to happen to her? But it's like, all of us have to say, why does he allow anything good to happen to, like, what? I don't deserve the good, any of the good.
Right.
Like, the life that I have, like the breath that I have, I didn't do anything to earn that.
So yeah, well taken on perspective, but anyway, go ahead.
I just think, okay. Yeah. Well, I love all that. I feel like when I was watching you from Instagram, I was really motivated and drawn to the people in your life who've helped rehabilitate you. Like watching you in the gym, I cannot remember his name right now because she surprised me with you as the guest. I would have looked it up, but there's a gym and like a guy, his story.
David.
Okay.
Yes.
That whole thing to me. So talk to us about the people, like, because our stories are interlocked, and yes, it happened to you, but it ultimately, like Cynthia said, it inspired a community, and it also weaves in with other people's stories. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. Again, I think God just plans things perfectly. And there's this gym in Carrollton, and it's called Adaptive Training Foundation, and it's run by David Bobora, and he's a former NFL player, and he started training veterans after they got out of the military. There's this one man, and he was blown up overseas and lost all four of his limbs, and David saw him and was like, when's the last time you worked out? Like, I would love to train you. And the guy was like, how am I going to work out? How are you going to train me, you know? And I mean, it started with that man was named Travis, and it started from there. And this gym is absolutely huge now. They just announced a new facility that they're going to be working on in Flower Mound. And it's going to be a whole campus housing people and creating such a cool community. But I think out of anywhere in the world, out of anywhere in the U.S., it's like 25 minutes from where I live. And I think that is just one of the million, you know, God winks that it's like, he has you on this path for a reason. But I was very active before my accident, obviously loved being an athlete, loved training for any and everything. And so when I was in the hospital, that was something I really missed, was training. You know, I was in hospital beds and couldn't get up and move around and work out at all. And that was something I was really looking forward to. And when I was in my rehabilitation facility in Houston for spinal cord injuries and brain injuries, I was able to start physical therapy, but it was on a very low level because I was still very fragile at that point. But I started, when I got back home, I started working with a personal trainer who then introduced me to David and brought me to that gym. And it has changed my life for the better. And it's just amazing. It's a nonprofit, so the gym is completely free. They have veterans, civilians, you know, people with amputations, spinal cord injuries, brain injuries, any basically traumatic accident incident that's happened. They have a 9-week program that they bring people in for, and it's, again, completely free. You have a trainer, you have assistant trainers, all these things, and you work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and it's very high pace and a very competitive atmosphere, but I thrive in those areas, and yeah. I absolutely loved it. And it was so nice being around people who have been through things like me, because as there that my family and friends were for me, they don't know what it's like to be the person in the situation, you know, and to be the one that's paralyzed and to be the one that all these things are stripped away from me. They can be there for me, but they don't know how it feels. So to be around people who are in my same situation was amazing. I mean, I think we all get connected so closely, so quickly, because we have been in those bad times and we can talk about those, and nothing's off limits. You know, there's some really scary thoughts and things that go on in low times, you know, and so it's really cool. But they train you for 9 weeks, and the whole thing is it's a huge gym, a huge facility, and it's all normal gym equipment. And so the goal is to teach you how to work out with normal workout equipment again. Yeah. So when people go back home, because a lot of people aren't from, you know, they're Dallas area.
They're flying in for this. And you, like you said, you live 25 minutes away, and it's like,
I know. They're flying them in, they're housing them all for free, and feeding them all for free, this whole program. It's amazing. Like my mom and I always say, like, I would give my very last cent, like, to this organization. It's been life-changing for me and hundreds of other people. I go up there often and train up there often, and it's cool that now I've been through the program, so I can come back and kind of be a mentor for other people. It was just so cool. The lessons that I've learned from these people in so many different walks of life, it was amazing.
Well, and I think it's cool to see y'all cheering each other on, because I do think someone who doesn't have your injury, they would feel bad being like pushing someone who's injured.
Yeah.
But if you're fellow injured people, maybe someone who, you know, is, we're not going to compare, but in a worse place, is like, you can do this. I just did it. It's like spurring each other on to like not settle into depression and like feeling purposeless. Like, it's giving people purpose. It's giving them a place to find significance and community. It's just like slam dunk. If you know someone who's a veteran or injured, look up this gym. We'll put the link in the show notes for sure.
And you know what else? I guess, Michaela, that I love as we kind of start wrapping up. But what I love about your story is that it's easy to get glimpses of stories and be like, that is so tragic, or this is so unfair. And God, yes, obviously there's an element of tragedy to this, but you're able to walk us through that. Even we can see the inside of the story of like, God, I mean, you live somewhere else. I mean, y'all now live right by this amazing gym, how you have these people surrounding you, just people are in town because it's homecoming, like all these different things that didn't just happen to be, like the Lord orchestrates and lines up things even in the hard. And I think that's what's so encouraging. And if we all could see that in our lives, I mean, the hundreds of things that happen on any given week or month that the Lord's orchestrating in our lives that we don't get to see, like we can trust it's true because we know he's done it for you, and he's good, and he loves us all. And so I guess as we start to wrap up, I guess my question would be this. You know, I always pray for my kids that the Lord will do insurmountably more based on scripture that, you know, we could ask or imagine, whatever that looks like for them. And I've seen him, Heather and I have watched him do that in your life. And part of it, I think, has been cool that you even said, like in the ambulance right after the accident, Mom, take a picture. Like, we're going to document this thing because we want to walk this well. And then you're like literally with Sadie Robertson, like, you know, and she's big time. And now you're big time doing this stuff with her. Like, just give us a little peek behind the curtain of that, like what the platform side of it has looked like.
It's been crazy. I remember I woke up, and one thing my sister said to me was like, Michaela, you have 60,000 followers on Instagram.
Oh, and
I was like, I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, like people know about my story and everything. Now, I had a platform, I guess, before because of the cheerleading world and everything, the level that I was at. But it has blown up since my accident. And yeah, I think by sharing my struggles, I think mm-hmm. by people seeing visibly that I'm not okay, it gave me the okay to kind of be like, well, also mentally, you know, like I'm struggling as well. And mm-hmm. so many people are, but it's hard because we can compare ourselves to other people's situations. And we're like, why in the world am I depressed? Why mm-hmm. am I anxious about this? You know, there's people in so many worse situations. And honestly, I understand that. And I still feel bad. Like, why do I feel this way? You know, I'm so blessed and I am so cared for. But like our situation and our emotions are just as real as anybody else's are. And yeah. I think that's important, you know, because a lot of times people are like, you have bad days. Like when they try and kind of act like I pretend it's all okay, which mm-hmm. I definitely don't want to do because nobody's life is happy all the time. And mine definitely isn't in this situation. But I'm like, you're right. Like I don't have good days all the time. Like I have really bad days and I have seasons where I'm really struggling. But I always go back to, I had that before, you know, even as a 16-year-old girl, those emotions are just as real and raw and heavy as they were before.
Yeah.
Just about different things, but they seem as big then as they do now. You know, mm-hmm. they're just about different things. There's one thing I always say, like, you know, my situation, if it's in God's plan to heal me, he could heal me today, you know? And if that's mm-hmm. 10 years down the road, then that's 10 years down the road. And if it's never, then that's okay. And that's obviously something that's taken a lot of time to get to that point, obviously. But I think taking a step back and talking to other people, it's been so beautiful to see that through my brokenness, God is working so evidently. Mm. And, you know, we're on this life, we're on this earth for a specific amount of time, and we don't know how long that is, you know, but while we're on this earth, we're here to, you know, love one another and bring those close to Christ. And so if it is that God uses my broken body to bring people to Christ, if that's one person or a million, you know, that's what I'm here for. And that's what I am to do on this earth. And one day I'll go to heaven and I'll get to walk and run around again and dance. And it's something that's, it's really heavy and hard to digest as still a 19-year-old girl. And I think that's something that'll always be there.
Yeah.
But yeah. there's a big, it's a so much bigger than me and my social media and the cool experiences I get to have. It's, I can use my testimony and what God has shown me through this traumatic experience to hopefully go in and change and inspire some people. Mm.
Do you ever watch The Chosen?
Yes. I haven't watched any of the new ones yet.
Okay. There's a season, I think it's when Jesus is sending out the disciples, like 2x2 is the name of the episode.
I think that's the Ark.
No, oh, it's sorry. Not Noah's Ark.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Old Testament. I'm talking about the New Testament. Oh, anyway, sorry. He's sending them out and he's like, I want you to heal people. I want you, you know, he's listing the things, like he's giving them the power to heal. And one of the disciples that they've kind of highlighted in this Chosen series is little James, who has a disability, a mm-hmm. physical disability. And there's this really tender moment where he is talking to Jesus about, like, I'm supposed to go heal other people, but you won't heal me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is powerful. If you watch any clip, that is
I was going to say, I'm going to look that up after.
Yes. I can only imagine if you've had those conversations with God that it would be even more impactful. But seeing Jonathan Rumi say it, who's our closest thing to Jesus these days, it's like you feel like, okay, I'm going to be okay. Like, I trust your sovereignty in this moment. I don't see the whole thing. But speaking about things we don't know, but maybe we make plans for, do you know what's next for you? You've graduated high school. Like, are you living on your own? Like, you have a boyfriend? What's happening? Are you married? What's happening?
I don't know. Not married yet. No. Okay. No. But my mom and I live together and my older sister Mariah lives like 15 minutes from us. And my mom and my sister are my caretakers. And we have been just traveling a bunch again with the social media. It's created some crazy and amazing opportunities, like talking on stage with Sadie Robertson, who is just an amazing woman and someone I've looked up to for so long. So for her to ask me to go on stage with her, I was like, I don't know. I don't think I deserve this, but it was amazing. I'm traveling a lot. I do some speaking events. I enjoy sharing my testimony, but I don't want to be a motivational speaker. That's not who I am. I'll show my story and what God's doing through me, but I don't want to be the person that you're like, you need to go work out and do this because look at me. I don't want it to be like that. I'm doing social media. I really want to write a book in the future. That's like been my biggest goal in life, even before my accident or anything. Really? I always told people my goal in life is to publish a book. It doesn't have to be a New York Times bestseller, but I would just love to write a book and have it out there. And there's such a special moment in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And I looked at my mom and I told her, Mom, I know what I'm going to write my book about. And that goosebumps. I was going to say goosebumps moment that God installed a dream inside of me before. And he was just waiting till the right time. Yeah. And that's hard for me because I am still so early out from my accident. You know, I'm still adjusting to my new way of life. And I don't know, I'll always be in the story. You know, the story is my life. So yeah,
it means more when it's not tied up in a bow and all pretty. Like you don't have to wait till it's all tied up in a bow. That's okay.
That's what I've heard. People are like, just keep writing now. And you know, when the time's right, something will come along and happen. And so.
Okay. Any publishers listening? Okay. Yeah. You got to call Michaela. Come on. You got an agent. That's step one.
I do.
You
have
an
agent. I do.
Okay. Okay, agent. You got a book proposal. Step two, a book proposal. No,
it's time.
Yeah. Okay, that's next.
Well, listen, I'm just happy we got Michaela, and I mean this from
a surprise.
The best perspective. Michaela doesn't do a ton of interviews, and Michaela isn't super easy to get to. And I don't mean like you are like, you know, giving us the
stiff arm,
stiff arm.
Leave me alone.
No,
I've got things to do.
I mean, you're just a girl living her life.
Well, that makes sense.
Doing it incredibly, and so the fact you came on to do this with us is like so awesome. We can't thank you enough. And just to be I know none of us are on the other side of it, of anything really, but it feels like to be on the other side of it to some degree, having prayed over you. And I just remember just seeing the alerts, like, pray right now. She's having surgery. Pray right now. This is a critical moment. And being like, I don't even know this girl, but this is someone's daughter.
Very important to me.
And like, I just remember stopping and praying and telling my family, being like, we were praying for this girl right now. Yeah. And so to be kind of on the side where we can have you on and chat with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys. The prayers, you know, and thoughts mean so much. And in that time,
continue.
I couldn't thank people, but I just, it means the world. It means the world.
Yeah. When you walk through that stuff, it's like, I don't know. Prayer always gets the last, like, well, just pray at the end. Like, it's the last. But when you're in those moments, you're like, no, the prayers are sustaining me. I don't know if people get it, but they really do matter.
Or when people post on social, they're like, hey, would love if you'd wish me good vibes or
good vibes.
Pray if you're praying. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to wish you good vibes, but I will pray over you. So anyway, thanks, Michaela.
Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you guys so much.
Us. Appreciate it.
You're amazing.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Gosh, you did such a good job. She's precious.
I know.
But when you were starting to her description, I was like, there's only one gal I follow on Instagram that's her story.
Mm-hmm. And for people local to our area, like, you know this because we all lived it. It's been all over the
news. You all need to look her up on the Insta because she's so stinking cute.
She's so darling. And then I listened to her on YouTube or something, her with Sadie Robertson and some other stuff. But okay, so you are in charge of the next guest, I believe, and we're scheduling him. And I don't know. We'll see.
We're not great at that part.
Scheduling?
Us being like the scheduling, it's a lot to maneuver.
Because it has to be three people.
Well, and you don't want to spill the beans on who it was. Didn't you have to delete a voice memo?
Oh, yeah. I did a voice memo to you yesterday. I'm like, okay, we have Michaela Noble tomorrow at 10. I'm like, oh! And I was like, oh, thank goodness I could
delete it. Yeah, no, I think it's tricky.
Thanks for being a part of it.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tracking. Is it still tracking?
Ah, sure.
Sidetracked?
Sure.
Are we getting sidetracked?
We're sidetracked.
We're messy, don't mom alone.
We're mess tracked. That sounded dirty or gross or
delete. Delete. Thanks for joining Cynthia and I and Michaela. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, thank you that you are our healer and that healing can look different than what we think. May we be people who worship you in the waiting and the not yet.
I pray for Michaela. I thank you for the light that she shines in her position and the place that you've given her to occupy, Lord. I pray that you would encourage her today, that you would bring her hope. And to whoever is listening in their waiting place and they're not yet fully healed, that they would feel a fresh breeze of hope and encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'll see y'all back here next Monday. We'll have week 3 of the Summer of Mentorship. Again, remember, Summer of Mentorship, it's 6 weeks. Republish episodes. We give you discussion questions in the show notes, and you could either listen on your own and then meet with people, or just kind of listen and enjoy some wisdom from the past. All right. Have a great week. Adios.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.